If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Acts, the third and fourth chapter. It's in these chapters that we see Peter and John, where they healed the lame man. And they began preaching to those around them. And in the beginning of chapter 4 is where we see that they take action upon Peter and John, and they arrest them, put them in prison, put them in jail. And the following verses where they address the Sanhedrin court, beginning in verse 5, really, it begins really just preaching to them, more or less. And then if we drop down to verse 16, it says, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. So we see this is the situation that John and Peter had been in, what they had just gone through. And in verse 23 it says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." And then in verse 24 beginning through verse 31, we see that they lift up their voices to God. We see this prayer, and that's what we just want to look at briefly tonight. It just makes some observations about this prayer, that as they are joined with their companions, it says in verse 24, "They raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." So when we look at this prayer that was prayed, we literally can say that this was an earth-shaking prayer. And just a couple observations about this prayer, that this is a prayer that was not selfish. It wasn't a prayer that contained complaining to God about these events that had happened, that they've been enduring. Instead, they seek boldness to be willing to endure this sort of opposition. These men do not even ask God to stop their enemies. They don't ask God to remove the obstacles and persecution. They simply seek God's strength to face the troubles that were to come. Power praying is not self-centered. This kind of praying is full of faith and seeks God's power to stand up to circumstances and events. And also when we look at this prayer, it's not shallow. They remind themselves that everything that happened to Jesus was according to God's prearranged plans. That is, none of it was an accident. And in spite of the evil of men around them, God still accomplished his plan. And this must have encouraged them as they considered the opposition that they were facing. If God could work his plan through Jesus in spite of persecution, then God can work his plan through them in spite of the threats and arrest that they were dealing with. Earth-shaking praying always goes deep into God's will and trust his sovereign ways to be successful. And also in this prayer, it's a prayer that is not scared. You know, if we were arrested, unfairly tried, spent a night in jail, and went through what they would, we might have some fear and be frightened. But when these men gathered to pray, they showed no signs of fear. Whatever inner feelings they had in their prayer, they asked to be bold. Sometimes fear does imply a lack of trust in God. And, you know, there's fear in me at times, and you may have a fear in you at times. But I think that if we've experienced in our lives having stronger faith, and at times maybe not having as strong a faith as we'd like, that there's a correlation there between a certain amount of fear and a fear that is not as present there, the stronger that the faith is, the stronger that the trust is in God. This prayer was not those things, but what it was it was sure. This prayer is full of faith. In every phase and each section, these men pray with a confidence that God will hear, that God is in charge, and that God will accomplish his will through them. They pray sure that God is listening and will respond. So it's not a big surprise at the end of this prayer that God does respond in the powerful way that he did. And lastly, this prayer was successful. At the end of this prayer, God shakes things up. He sends an earthquake to encourage them. God wants these faith-filled Christians to know he values this kind of trust. He wants them to know that he values this kind of prayer. So just looking at this prayer by those that were engaged in that prayer, those are just some observations that we can make. And certainly, it's this type of prayer that we need today as we are on our own and as we are together as they were at the time that this prayer was uttered. So thank you for your attention.